Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 3rd. Happy day before the 4th of July. Well, here's a sobering statistic to ponder as we get ready to celebrate the nation's birthday. Today and tomorrow, July 3rd and 4th, are among the most dangerous days of the year to drive. Are you surprised by that? Well, you might also be surprised with the results of a study on traffic safety just released by the University of Minnesota's Center for Excellence in Rural Safety. Wisconsin is on a list of states where Americans are more likely to die in a traffic crash on a rural road. We are tied for 18th for the states with the highest proportion of their total traffic fatalities occurring on rural roads, with 68%. We'll talk about why this is and wonder what can be done about improving the safety of traveling on rural roads. And we will wonder what you think would help and welcome your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Tom Horan, Research Director for the University of Minnesota Center for Excellence in Rural Safety. He's also a professor of information science at Claremont Graduate University in Claremont, California. And he deserves a raise for joining us at 4 o'clock in the morning his time from California. Good morning.
Good morning.
Apparently your colleagues in Minnesota wanted to sleep in this morning.
Yeah. So, glad to be here.
Right. Well, we appreciate your service. What exactly is the Center for Excellence in Rural Safety?
The Center for Excellence in Rural Safety is a new center that was established in a recently passed transportation bill. The purpose of the center is to conduct research, training, and outreach with the goal of improving rural safety, which also translates into reducing rural fatalities on the road.
Yeah. So there must have been an inkling, evidence that there was a problem on rural roads in order for this center to be established by a bill in Congress.
Yes, that's correct. While there has always been awareness of the traffic congestion in urban areas, the statistics show that from a safety fatality point of view, that rural areas have a disproportionately high percent of the total traffic fatalities. So for that reason, the center was established to help raise awareness, conduct research, and ultimately reduce fatalities.
Yeah. Well, this list in this study that was just released contains the 20 or so states with the worst record or the highest proportion of fatal accidents occurring on rural roads. But I'm wondering if that's just because these states have more rural roads.
Well, it is the case that the states that are listed are states that have large rural regions. And as you just said, Joy, the more rural regions you have, the more people are traveling on those regions, and the more likely it is that there will be fatalities on those regions.
Yeah.
So that's certainly part of the explanation. Another part of the explanation is just the nature of rural travel, which is often at on roads that are more often two-lane roads than interstate roads, roads that can be darker at night than in urban areas. And unlike in urban areas where often because of traffic congestion, you can't go that fast, in rural areas, you can. And you can go on fast because there's less traffic, and you can do so on roads that are smaller. So all those factors together lead to the statistic that, you're just, statistically speaking, more likely to have a fatal accident in a rural area.
You know, one of my guesses is, and I have, I didn't scientifically study this, but I also find when driving on a rural road that I might be a little bit more likely to kind of zone out. Whereas when you're in a busy urban area, you're really, you know, the lights and horns and everything else keep your attention focused.
Well, from a accident or fatality statistic point of view, the more typical accident is running off the road. So,
from falling
you know, as opposed to a head-on collision. Mm-hmm. No one might think, oh, you know, are we talking about tragic head-on collisions? Well, those are actually relatively rare as compared to going off the road. So your observation about, you know, the driver behavior is spot on in that there's often, you know, some kind of human factor aspect to this. So that's certainly one thing that can be a factor to it. There are others. You know, you mentioned that you might find yourself zoning out. You know, another somewhat surprising aspect to this is a substantial proportion of those accidents, fatalities, are people who are not from the immediate area.
Oh.
So you might zone out because you're so familiar. Another issue is just not being familiar with the area, and perhaps also not being that attentive,
mm-hmm.
which is a particular concern in the holiday period because, right, there's a lot going on. People are trying to get to, you know, a friend or a relative, and they're tired. And all those factors together can produce a situation that's just very, it can be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're trying to kind of get the message out before this July 4th.
We are talking about a report that puts Wisconsin's rural roads on a list of the most dangerous to travel in the country. And that danger is heightened today and tomorrow, July 3rd and 4th, two of the most dangerous days to drive in terms of traffic fatalities. We'll talk more about what can be done to improve the safety of those driving on Wisconsin's rural roads, or rural roads in any state for that matter. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, who is Tom Horan, Research Director for the University of Minnesota's Center for Excellence in Rural Safety. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Tuesday, July the 3rd. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben's guest says that saving more and spending less can bring us a more enriched and happier way of life, both financially and emotionally. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about traffic safety, road safety this hour. Wisconsin rural roads are some of the most dangerous to travel over this 4th of July holiday. We are talking with Tom Horan, who is Research Director for the University of Minnesota's Center for Excellence in Rural Safety, also a Professor of Information Science at Claremont Graduate University in Claremont, California. We're talking about this new study ranking Wisconsin among the top 20 of the most deadly states in the nation in terms of rural road fatalities. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Wisconsin certainly isn't alone on this list. Some of our neighbors are on the list as well. Iowa has an even higher proportion of traffic fatalities occurring on rural roads, according to this report, with 88%. Minnesota is number 15 on the list with 72%. And Wisconsin is number 18 with 68%. Illinois doesn't look like Illinois is on this list because probably most of their traffic fatalities are occurring in urban Chicago or other city areas, Tom Horan?
Right. Yeah. A state like Chicago with a state like Illinois, mm-hmm. with a major metropolitan area like Chicago is, I probably going to be down more in the 50% area.
So what is the definition of a rural road, a two-lane road, or is it something more than that?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's travel occurring outside of population areas with a 5,000 population. So it is typically two-lane roads.
Yeah. And we have full lines with people who have some questions for you and maybe some theories as to why this is happening. Brian in Sparta joins us first. Hi, Brian. You're on the air.
Hi. I live on a rural road up north of Sparta, and one of the things we see quite a few accidents, actually, where I live, and I believe a lot of it has to do with the speed. People are used to driving on state highways. When they get off on the rural roads, they're not designed for high speeds. The curves are more severe. We actually have a curve a half mile down from the house. And we've actually predicted accidents sitting out in the yard when someone drives by, and it's mm-hmm. like if they don't slow down, they're not going to make that. And I think speed is a big thing. But one other contradiction I have is we see with the local residents, it's like they don't allow them enough time when they have to go to work. And they're some of the worst individuals when it comes to speeding as the local residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speed is a major contributor, as Brian just said. For the program, I dug up the 2006 statistics for Wisconsin. So, for example, of the 815 total fatalities in 2005, which is the latest statistic, 294 involved speeding. Mm. So, 369 involved alcohol, and 456 involved almost single crashes. So I say that just to provide some additional context, where speeding absolutely is a factor. In this case, it's one out of every three or more. But when you combine speeding, with alcohol, then the likelihood of an accident really goes up. And to Brian's other point about local versus not from the area, I think that during most days, and as he said, like going to work, that can be a factor. During the seasons, and particularly July 3rd and 4th, or New Year's, then it's the statistics suggest that it's not just the local traffic, but the influx of visitors that also contribute.
Yeah, and those visitors might not know that curve is down
right.
the road.
Yeah, the other interesting point about the curve mm-hmm. Is that we've all seen maps of traffic. You can get online if you're going to a city and see what it looks like. But we haven't seen a lot of maps of accidents and fatalities so that you could be aware of a place that tends to be dangerous. Brian knows about it because it's right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we've wondered and are doing some research to try and create maps so that others can be aware of their particularly dangerous parts of a trip that they're on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Tom in Columbus is with us. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Tom. Mm-hmm. I hope
morning,
you guys
Tom.
Have a safe fourth.
Thank you.
I'm a professional driver. I drive approximately 2,500 miles a week in Wisconsin, a lot of it rural. And other than the distractions that we're seeing, nationwide with, our modern conveniences from laptops to cell phone signals that people are trying to hold out the window and to get a better signal when they're rurally located, there's a lot of distractions out here rurally. We've got school buses. We've got agricultural equipment. We've got deer and livestock. There's kids that scream out of the driveways on ATVs and do a loop and come back in. I actually lost a nephew like that on the 4th of July about 20 years ago. But,
sorry.
I mean, there's a lot going on out here. And as the previous caller and then your guest pointed out, Joy, speed kills. I mean, slow will save you when, even with the modern, better engineered cars, speed will save you. Slow will save you when nothing else will, be it an ice-covered road, be it, even a collision. But just sliding off on a, freshly graveled rural road, freshly sealed road, speed will save you from that rollover. And I think the emphasis should be, in addition to alcohol, should be on speed and just, staying aware. Yeah. And yeah, it's a jungle out here, I tell you. And it's not getting any better. I mean, urban sprawl, you know, or quote unquote urban sprawl, the number of tourists that we're continually trying to boost in all these states, I'm actually surprised Wisconsin's not higher on the list. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, there's a lot of big trucks that we're running rural now. So, you know, people just kind of be on the lookout. We don't want to get into a wreck. You know, a wreck for us is for a commercial driver is just, you know, it's just terrible. So the paperwork alone will kill you, not to mention give the trucks plenty of room. Give the agricultural vehicles plenty of room. You know, you come screaming up on a tractor or an agricultural vehicle that might not be obeying the slow moving vehicle sign on the back of their, you know, hay wagon or something. They should be going 25 or less, and they're going 40. It makes it difficult to pass. People kick out. Boom. You know, it happens every day.
Yeah. Well, you paint a vivid picture, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Professor Horan.
Yes, I guess if the accident doesn't get you, the paperwork will. just to respond to kind of the overall theme, there can be a lot of unpredictable aspects to traveling in a rural area, particularly for those who are not familiar, which we already talked about a little bit. You know, I'd also mention not only is speed a factor here, but, you know, going slower will save you. Also, age is a factor, and it's probably a good time to mention it. As Tom was talking, he was talking about his experience with driving and why you have to be cautious because there's all these unpredictable things. That comes with experience. And, you know, sadly, the statistics show that traffic fatalities are the number one killer of teenagers, 15 to 19 to 20. And part of that explanation from some of the behavioral researches is just, you know, it's lack of experience and lack of judgment about how what can happen and how quickly one has to respond and those kinds of things. So,
yeah, in fact, there was a study that just came out yesterday that we're discussing possibly doing, but I was going to ask you to comment on it. Wisconsin is the fourth deadliest state in the nation for traffic fatalities caused by drivers age 20 and younger.
Right.
And we do have the graduated licensing program, but apparently still way up there in young people causing traffic fatalities.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it is a, you know, it's a major public health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we're trying to do at the center is really frame the traffic fatality, rural safety situation as a public health issue. It's the number one killer of teens, and if you look overall, traffic fatalities, you know, equal the amount of fatalities that occur from breast or colon cancer, and all of those things should be reduced. Our point is that a similar kind of awareness needs to be raised for traffic fatalities, and particularly among teens and younger drivers. We've had this discussion with smoking, if you will, but smoking isn't the number one killer of teens.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it could get them downstream, but traffic fatalities are, and so that is really an important reason to try and think about steps to reduce accidents.
Yeah, we will talk more about how to reduce traffic fatalities on, in particular, rural roads after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, July the 3rd. We are talking with a guest who is with the University of Minnesota's Center for Excellence in Rural Safety, which just issued a report listing the top 20 most deadly states in the nation when it comes to rural road traffic fatalities. Wisconsin is on this list. We are talking about why this is and what can be done to improve the safety of Rural Roads, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The list contains the 20 or so states with the highest proportion of fatal accidents occurring on rural roads. Our guest is Tom Horan, who is research director for the Center for Excellence in Rural Safety, a professor of information science at Claremont Graduate University in Claremont, California. And this list was released to coincide with the 4th of July holiday, because this is one of the most dangerous times on the road all year long. It says here, with the 4th of July holiday falling in midweek this year, many Americans have decided to take the whole week off. AAA says more than 41 million Americans will travel at least 50 miles from their home sometime this week, and it's a new record for Independence Day travel. Professor Horan, are the traffic fatalities worse during this time of year because there are more people on the roads? Or that it's kind of surprising to think that the July 4th holiday is one of the worst times of the year.
It is. Mm. I think that one would, you know, probably guess New Year's. But when you look at the statistics, for example, in Wisconsin, July is over the last several years has been the month with the most fatalities. And so it's something to pay attention to. I think that in comparison to New Year's, where perhaps there is an awareness of don't go out unless you have to kind of thing, for July 4th, it's in the summertime. People are folding in summer vacations, perhaps, taking a long weekend. So there is a lot of great travel going on to go to places near and far. And so there is more travel. But sadly, with that travel and with the holidays comes this sobering statistic about it being one of the highest periods for accidents and fatalities.
Back to the phone. Steve in Rice Lake is with us next. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Say, I'm a police officer up here in a rural community, and a couple times I've had to deal with some fatalities, traffic fatalities, and both of those incidents were cases where people had driven off the roadway. And instead of just driving out into the field like they should have done, and you know, so we deal with a broken fence and some cows out, they tried to get back up on the roadway. Mm-hmm. And both of those happened to be SUVs, larger vehicles. I was just wondering if your guest had any statistics on that, and if he knows anything about, you know, if there's more being put into driver's training. I mean, it's a lot easier just to drive out into a ditch and into a field through a cornfield and leave your vehicle sit than trying to get back up on the roadway. I don't know what the big deal is about getting back on the road.
Yeah, Steve, do you recall if these cars getting back on the road then struck another vehicle? Is that what happened?
No. They both they just lost control as they attempted to get back on the roadway. Unfortunately, both people were killed. Neither was ejected. Seatbelts were involved, the whole deal. But the problem is, if you have a multiple rollover, you can be strapped in all you want, and you know, that doesn't really matter, you know. You know, there's a lot of people killed when they're ejected from a vehicle, too. But in this case, it was just a rural sunny day, both people, no alcohol involved. And the problem is, when you have a fatality, you can't ask the question, well, did a deer jump in front of them? Why did they leave the roadway? You know, in this case, it was both sunny days, just, you know, nice, beautiful weather. They just happened to try and get back on the road, and, you know, a lot of your rural roadways, your shoulders aren't good, or they're steep angles, you know, ditches with stuff in them, you know, stumpage or rocks or trees close to a roadway and stuff like that. But both those people were unfortunately killed just trying to get the vehicle back on the road.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I know in my sister's case, she had an accident. She dozed off, Professor Hornan, and that's why she left the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, the examples that Steve brings up are very typical. That is to say, more fatal accidents occur during the day than at night. And his examples were in the day. Most rural fatal accidents occur going off the road, which his examples brought up, and most go off the road at you know, not at intersections. So So the stories are very consistent with what the statistics suggest. I think he raises an excellent point about better understanding the behavior side of what happens when someone goes off the road. And, you know, our research is not just aimed at documenting the situation, but also investigating how it could be improved. And the behavioral aspects of it, that is what people do, is a key part of the research that we're doing.
Yeah. Any idea why? I can speculate, but do we know why people might try to get back on the road if they hit the shoulder and start going off the road?
Right. Mm-hmm. At this point, the data on that isn't as clear as understanding all that they did to get them into that situation. But we think that over the next couple of years, there will be an increasing attention to the behavior side, including some of the work that we're doing, which is more behavior as it varies by age of driver, is something that we've been focused on.
Hey, any idea if deer are involved in many of these fatalities on the rural roads in Wisconsin?
They don't classify it by that. So it's hard to know. I mean, I'm sure there's some accidents that are caused that way. Mm-hmm. One new one, if you're looking for kind of changes, Steve pointed to kind of the SUV as an issue. Motorcycles is another one where there's been some spike in fatalities, particularly during the summer holiday period, associated with the rise of recreational motorcycling. By folks who are just taking it up for the first time, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's another area to watch.
The Steve brought up seatbelt use. He said in these two cases that he dealt with, where there were fatalities, they did have their seatbelts on. But that's also a factor, is it not, in the traffic fatality picture?
It is. Mm-hmm. You know, when you add up the statistics for success would be to be older, to drive the speed limit, more often to be female than male, to be wearing your seatbelt, to not be drinking alcohol, and to be familiar with the situation. Mm-hmm. And so, conversely, the risk factors include not wearing your seatbelt, speeding, being younger, having alcohol, and driving in an unfamiliar territory. And I saw this on a slide once, and I had a laugh. Somebody else was talking about risk factors. It said being male.
Yeah. Well, I'm in most of those categories anyway, too. I might drive a little faster than I should, but otherwise I think I'm pretty good. Your center advocates that states adopt primary seatbelt laws. So police could pull over someone just for not wearing a seatbelt, not like it is right now in Wisconsin, where you can be cited for not wearing a seatbelt, but you can't be pulled over for that reason alone.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have three areas that we're focused on. The behavioral aspect I've talked about, technology, which we haven't gotten to yet, but perhaps we'll touch on, and then policy. And in the policy area, our research and outreach and advocacy is really about any and all of the strategies that can reduce the factors that I just laid out in terms of alcohol, speeding, seatbelt, and certainly a seatbelt law is part of improving the percent of travelers who wear seatbelts.
We are talking with Tom Horan. He is Research Director for the University of Minnesota Center for Excellence in Rural Safety, and we're talking about what can be done or should be done to improve the safety of rural roads in the country and in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is on a list of the top 20 most deadly states in the nation when it comes to traffic fatalities on rural roads. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, do you know someone who spends too much time playing video games? We'll talk about video game addiction coming up after 7. And then after 7:30, we will talk with a guest about President Bush commuting the sentence, the prison sentence anyway, of Lewis Scooter Libby. That's coming up after 7:30. We're talking about traffic safety and the safety of rural roads in Wisconsin and the country. And we have a line open now for you, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Mary in Belleville is with us now. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Thank you. Just quickly, let me set the context for my question. We live on a rural road. We're retired, so we're home to see what happens, and we also pick up all the beer cans along the road. People who are going the fastest by our place are generally young males. We live on a narrow tar and gravel township road with blind hills and curves right up near our house. And yet the speed limit on the road is 55 miles an hour. Now, some of us have tried to get this changed, and we've been told that because we don't have a large amount of traffic on our roads, that they will not change the speed limit. This doesn't make any sense to me because it doesn't matter how many cars are out there. They don't realize that they can't see over the hill or around the curve, and they're still going by sometimes at 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, and 55 usually means more than that, too, doesn't it, Mary?
Yeah.
Professor Horan, what about 55 speed limit on rural roads like Mary's?
Well, it is the case that most of the fatal accidents occur in on roads that have higher speed limits, and it is the case, as you alluded to, Joy, that you can add about 15 miles an hour, if not more, to what the posted speed limit is. So it can be a recipe for danger, and so I think the caller is right in saying that those types of roads can and should have lower speed limits. Part of trying to raise this as a public health issue is to move it up from a kind of engineering discussion, which it often falls, kind of the engineering division of the Department of Transportation, into more of a political public health issue, which is to say, too many teenagers are dying, and here's the reasons why, and from a public health point of view, here's why we should take these accidents. So maybe from an engineering traffic flow point of view, it can make sense to keep it at 55 miles an hour. But from a public health point of view, it doesn't make sense. And so that's the kind of thinking that we're trying to advance, which is slightly different than a kind of engineering road design perspective.
Yeah. Joe in Davenport, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air.
Good show today, Joyce.
Thanks. I'm glad you're listening.
Oh, this is a subject I've been railing on for years. I'm a professional driver. I've been doing this for almost 15 years. In those 15 years, I probably racked up 1.5 million miles of driving experience. I really don't consider driving experience to be measured in years because it's irrelevant. So I'm going to jump up in the soapbox from my 2 points are, one, if you're going to be late, be late. Better be late than dead. Pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be stupid. My second point is keep your vehicle maintained properly. That's proper air pressure in your tires, proper tread in your tires. Keep your brakes in good shape. Make sure this thing's going to run properly. I've seen too many people out there. The tires are bald, the brakes are shot, the transmission's smoked, the engine's smoking, the ashtray's pulling the things out of gas. These are things that are
important.
Other than
that, it was fine. Yeah.
If you're going to trust your life to a piece of junk, there's a good chance you're going to end up dead. That's about the only thing I had to say. I'll take my comments up here. Thank you.
All right. You have any comments for him, Professor Horan?
Wow, a million miles. I'll tell you, that's data.
Yeah, right.
I think the role of the owner of the vehicle and the driver in determining, how many factors they're going to have in their favor versus not in their favor. You can't control, the road that you're on, who designed it. There's a lot of things you can't control, but what you can control is your own behavior and the condition of the car, which is, a good point. I think that what I also want to mention is as cars roll over, not roll over as in physically roll over, as time goes on and the fleets of cars change, I do want to mention that as you look forward, there will be better safety features on vehicles, and that's also an important part, including the ability to automatically notify emergency response providers if you've been in an accident. So while the caller rightly brought up the problems with older cars and non-maintained, I do want to mention that as time marches on, the design of vehicles, including the ability of the vehicle to kind of automatically notify emergency providers that there's been an accident, will start to happen. And I think that we're, you know, researching that and optimistic that that can be a part of getting emergency health care to the accident victim once it's occurred.
Because that's one of the factors that could be leading to this higher than should be death toll on rural roads is your center points out it takes longer for emergency personnel to get to you and longer for you to get to a hospital, perhaps.
Oh, right, mm-hmm. right. And that's, we focused so far, you know, on what happens mm-hmm. kind of up to the accident. And I think it's important within the full cycle of it to understand what happens after the accident. And, you know, it's rural areas, it takes, on average, more like 50 minutes to get to treatment versus under 20 minutes in an urban area. And, you know, there's the golden hour. There's a lot of medical statistics about getting care sooner. So, you know, I've somewhat, you know, I've joked in a kind of somewhat morbid fashion that if I ever get into an accident, I'm mm-hmm. going to stand up and run to the urban zone because statistically, the likelihood that I'll get quick medical treatment is much higher in an urban area. So anything that can be done to cut down that time of getting the ambulance or fire or the volunteer first responder to the scene to start emergency treatment, anything that can do that is a good thing. And that's where automatic notification, such as OnStar, which is available in the commercial market, mm-hmm. can start to cut down that time and improve the likelihood of surviving the accident.
Jerry in Shellsburg is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. I'm from Shellsburg. I ran all over the country. I'm a trucker, too, like some of the other callers. I ran mm-hmm. the country for close to 30 years. Now I'm running about 550 miles a day here in Wisconsin. Excuse me, I had to shift. No, it's all on two-lane highways, the 550, except about 20 miles of expressway. We have no freeways down our way. Well, I started noticing this about 20 years ago, especially at holiday weekends, that they talk about all the big enforcement of the state patrol and that. But then when you listen to the local radio stations or Channel 3 out of Madison, most of the deaths are coming from the rural roads. They don't have enough enforcement, even though our county does a pretty good job on the rural roads. Another thing is that came up, a couple people mentioned, is about the corners and that. Wisconsin needs to do a better job of marking sharp corners coming up there. Really, if you drive the rural roads, you can be into a sharp corner without much warning.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm sorry, your first point was is that law enforcement was concentrating on the urban areas and it should be concentrating more on the rural areas? Is that what your point was, Jerry?
No. Uh-huh. Interstates. You notice, they get out on the interstate. You get out on Interstate 90 between Madison, Milwaukee, Madison and the Dells, Madison and Beloit. Every couple of miles when there's a holiday weekend, there's a state trooper. You get off on the rural roads, you don't see any state troopers at all, and the counties, most of the county squads are spread pretty thin. And
yeah.
People do that, so like other people have mentioned, the people drive too fast. And your gentlemen there don't seem to be acquainted with the deer situation here in the Midwest. Every week our county paper puts in the deer accidents. Sometimes it's a list of 25 or 30 vehicle and deer accidents. Most of them, thank God, are fender benders, but sometimes they're serious accidents.
Well, I'm sure he's aware of it, but you're saying it's not included in what caused the fatal crash, that in the statistics from
wherever you get the statistics from, Professor Oren.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm. we've been focused on fatalities, mm-hmm. and so it's not a major contributor to fatalities. It is a contributor to accidents, particularly in rural areas and fender benders, and it's something that should be attended to. So I don't mean to understate it in that sense. It's just when you're as compared to alcohol, as compared to speeding, as compared to inattentive driver, it's just not showing up at that, you know, at that kind of level.
Yeah, any thoughts on, with our final minute here, whether there should maybe be more concentration of law enforcement on these rural roads and maybe less on the interstates?
Yeah, you know, the challenge is that rural roads are spread all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do a kind of map plot of fatalities, you know, they're all over the place. And so it's hard to focus in on one particular area.
Yeah.
Now, the caller does bring up a good point about these dangerous curves.
Mm-hmm.
And we do think there can be more attention to raising awareness, kind of public awareness of dangerous spots, and that's why we're trying to create these maps that would have it.
That would show that.
You know, if you've ever traveled to Mexico, sometimes you know you approach a road and there'll be all these little crosses on the side,
right?
And you'll go, oh boy,
those memorials,
know?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. This country, for a lot of different reasons, we don't have that.
And I've got to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us and getting up early on the West Coast.
Okay, thank you, and thank you to your callers. Yeah. They're great questions.
They were. Tom Horan is Research Director for the University of Minnesota Center for Excellence in Rural Safety. Thanks to Karen Prager and Christina Taylor for producing the hour. This is The Ideas Network.